Hey, good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It really is so good to see. There's something about this time of year that makes it even more wonderful, is it not? To get together, to sing his praise, to meet and to just see one another's face and the joy of the children and then just what this season does. And then for those of you who are thinking, why do we have like a 40 degree drop in temperature? Like 40 degrees, just saying. I'm just saying this is the right temperature for the 19th of December, right? Yes? Some of you say, no, not so much. That's okay. That's all right. It is so good to be here. It really is. And if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah, if you kind of open up in the middle, right, you're probably landing someplace in the Psalms, and just go on a little bit. That's the fastest way I can say that. If you're sitting at home and you don't have a Bible close by, you know, just to follow along or go grab one, I want us to kind of just consider a few things this morning, a little bit of a different way. I hope you'll sit down, take a deep breath, and just begin to wonder. You know, we can sometimes get things confused, can we not? We're so focused in the everyday on success and we forget significance. If there was ever a time when significance matters, it is this time, right? Success has to do with attaining your goals, that which you do for yourself, so to speak, whereas significance has to do with what actually is transforming and changing in the life of those around you and, of course, also in that part for yourself as well. So don't get lost at Christmas. Just think about it for a moment. Just one little thought, and we may come back and dwell on that. I hope I see you and many more also on Friday for the two services there. But imagine this, someone who got confused about what is important. Think of Herod. Who in the world is Herod? Just think about it for a second. He thought he was so important, all he did, reigning all these kind of big areas, an important thing, and took care of all this, right? Nobody would have ever known his name had he not been mentioned in the story of Jesus, yes? Think about the innkeeper, about missing you a moment. Hello? Oh, I don't have room for you. I got some more important people coming. What? What? We can confuse things quite a bit. So I want to highlight this morning that Christmas has one center point, one goal, one purpose, one main character, one person that we look at. And I can't imagine any place where that is expressed with more power than in that. We may almost call the Gospel of Isaiah right here. I know chapter 53 is important too, but look here in chapter 9. Beginning just in verse 2 as a setup, the question here is asked, is set up and then is answered in verse 6, right? The people walking in darkness shall see a great light. Light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. Why? Well, for. Why? Because a child will be born for us, a son will be given us, and a government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I'm going to ask all of us today, myself included, I had to contemplate that quite a bit, even preparing this. How much do we ever sit down for this one purpose of just wondering about the wondrous Savior, falling in love with Jesus all over again? Is that not, when we think about it, really what worship is all about? When it comes right down to it, to be filled with wonder about the one who came for us. You know, it's good to have fellowship. It's great to know more through Bible studies. And that helps us to do what? To wonder about this love of the Savior. And just think with me a little bit. Just as you sit this morning. Well, I'm not going to do so much as we sometimes do to see what is Jesus actually telling us and how we should live this out. Just to sit and be filled with wonder. Look at him this morning. The majesty that is his. Some of you are as old as I am, you know, just graduating the year after Methuselah. And we remember Graham Kendricks. At least you do if you're from Europe, right? One of the great, great hymn writers of a little bit more contemporary style than the old hymn writers. But listen to what he's saying in one of the most majestic hymns he wrote. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. You can look it up when you come home, and you may be listening to it all afternoon. Who knows? But look here. Let's look at the one called Wonderful. Isaiah, of course, prophesied about 800 years or so before Christ about this child that was to be born. And whether he understood his own prophecy very much is probably doubtful. He, of course, had some inkling, but Peter reminds us that the old prophets really just were faithful kind of vessels through whom God spoke. And Peter says it like this. He says they were searching intently to try to understand the meaning of the salvation that they proclaimed. But God used them. And what is expressed here is that he is expressing who Jesus is in his character, in his being, in his identity, in his deeds, and in everything about him in these names. And the first of those is Wonderful. His name shall be Wonderful. May I encourage you again just to take a deep breath, and if you sit in a chair at home, the same thing. Maybe even close your eyes and say, can I fall in love again with the Lord? Maybe even utter a little prayer and say, Lord, I apologize if I had so domesticated who you are that you have become my servant rather than me be your servant. Think about it. For just a moment. Christ, the most wondrous of all things, wonderful. It is one of these things when you start thinking about it, the word wonderful refers to that which creates wonder and marvel and stirring us on the inside. It's related to curiosity and to amazement. It's like someone who is staring into a microscope and has done that for decades and suddenly sees the wonders that he had not seen, and his wonder grows deeper, or her wonder grows deeper. Just think about this for a moment, about all the wonders that there could be. Nothing is greater than this wonder. And you know that even the names that I use here spells out some of this paradoxical wonder. I want to use that word. Everlasting Father. The one who is to be called the Son is here called the Father, even the Everlasting One. Maybe I can illustrate it like this. A child is sitting on the grandfather's lap. Maybe your grandchild on your lap. And listening to stories that are being told about when you were young and how things were back then. And in no time, the little one is looking at with glaring eyes, looking at you thinking, you must have lived since the beginning of time. I know that's what they feel when I talk. But then how short is the lifespan of this person compared to an old tree? A tree that has been around for centuries and an untold number of storms have raged through its branches. History has set its mark. Things have gone on. Human ideas have developed and disappeared again. Been a long time since that tree hung as a seed on another tree. But to think about how short that lifespan of this tree is compared to the soil in which it has sunk its roots and found nourishment and strength. What stories could be told by that soil? Every little particle may be its own little story. It has been blown around for untold decades. But how young and how short is the lifespan of that compared to the bedrock that it covers? A story that could be told by that maybe that goes back to when the earth was empty and the expanse was void. How short. Even of that, even if that bedrock could tell about how it became morning and evening on that first time. And then how short is that compared to these oceans and waters, these deep blue waters that rushes over that? And across which thousands and hundreds of thousands of ships have crossed without leaving as much as a mark. And then how short is that span compared to the heavens and the galaxies and the millions of stars that is there hanging set on its orbit? And then how short is that compared to the throne room of God, where ever since the beginning of eternity, angels have gathered in crowds to sing his praise, and yet they are all like newborn babes compared to the one who is called Everlasting Father. Friends, can we on this fourth Sunday of Advent gather around him who has become our Redeemer? One that is not just domesticated down to a cute little story that we hear and that kind of belongs in the setting. The one who is before all, over all, and through whom everything that is being created is created. Because what? His name is Wonderful. Wonderful. We talked last Sunday about his birth, and so I won't get too much into that, the significance of that. But again, can we focus on that a little bit here in connection with this wonderful setting that we have right here? Just look at it. If we can be enthralled, captivated, again by the birth of our Savior, the one who is eternal of days, become like a newborn child. Church, friends, everyone who is listening, can we get there? Can we speak about this most wondrous of all wonders? This is where that old hymn that David sang in chapter 8 when he says, when I see, what? The heavens. When I behold all that is going on. What then is a human being? Well, to see the work of your hands. How can I fathom that you still remember us? That's where that shines the strongest. It was a miracle. Friends, when God opened the waters and took his people out of captivity after 400 years and led them through that sea of reeds and closed the waters behind them to squelch that army that was trying to catch them back. It was a marvel when they walk around these walls of Jericho and they came falling down, making an entrance possible into the promised land. It was a marvel beyond marvels when the sundial went 10 steps back of King Ahaz's watch. There's always throughout history been marvels that were deep and they were difficult and things into which human thought was just riveted and held and some things so deep that we dare not even dive there. And yet none of that, or maybe I should say all of that, shrivels into nothing compared to what we see when we stand around that little manger of the child that was to be born. Jesus Christ, Son of God, born of a virgin, becomes a human being. The everlasting one. Think of that for a moment. Is that not wonderful? Do I see some of you go, wow. Is it possible? Can you be filled still with wonder? Or are we beyond that? And this is not rhetorical, friends. I'm asking you this. Is it possible to be filled deeply in your soul, in your heart, with wonder? Imagine this. The one who is without limit, now located in a manger. The one who is eternal, now born by a virgin. The one who is almighty, yet he is held in his mother's arms. The one who is the sustainer of the universe, now dependent on his mother's milk. Everything here is wondrous. The King of heaven and earth, now called the son of a carpenter. No wonder that David said, "Oh Lord, my Lord, how majestic is the name, your name in all the earth." Some of you can get wondrous. Yeah, wonderful wonders, marvels in our heart. But there's more to it than that. If you move on from the beginning of Jesus' life on earth to the end, you will see the same thing. If we can gather around his cross just for a moment and pay attention and see how God was able to take the vilest instrument of death that humans had ever devised and turn it into the greatest symbol of love that we have ever known. Yes? Oh Lord, how wondrous is your name. It's not strange that David is saying, you know, it's just too much, too high, it's too lofty for me. I can't grasp it. Well, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to stand in awe before it. We human beings were just blinded by evil and our own desires and our own darkness. And it was at that time that God decided to bring and to show his wonderful Savior. God's sorrow over human rebellion and sin was so deep that he himself paid the price for it. From his veins flows that river of life that brings new life into death. How can that not be wondrous, wonderful Savior? Not just words of a nice song. But the most important thing about the death of Christ is not what he did right there, but that he conquered death. Don't miss that. That he conquered death. Where do you find a mystery more mysterious than that? That he who was dead became alive. He's the one we worship, friends. He really is. Allow yourself for a moment just to kind of get grasped by that. Maybe you need to reflect. Maybe some need to just flat lay on their belly before the Lord. Sometimes we need that kind of awe to recognize the grandeur of what we're talking about. You know, it's so interesting with these things that things get, we get used to stuff, right? We just do. That's why we lose our wonder. You know, when the first car drove, everybody was going, oh, wow. Now we wish half of them were gone, right? Just saying. When the first airplane flew, everybody was talking about it. If you were any kind of inside some kind of news cycle, you would be aware of it, yes? When the first rocket was shooting up and some landing on the moon, I was a little bitty boy on the other side of the globe. My parents woke me up middle of the night to see this thing on the screen. Now, I don't know that I ever hear half of what's going on in space. Yes? Maybe even a tenth. We just get used to stuff. My old grandfather used to say, I just don't get it. How is it that they can send pictures through the air and let them come show up on my screen in my room? It's now, with all these things, the more you study, the more you know, the less mysterious it becomes. Yes? It's the opposite with Christ. The more you study, the more you get to know him, the more you walk with him, the more wondrous he becomes, the more powerful you see that he is. It is, as David said once again, to understand it, it's just too wonderful to me. It is too lofty. I can't even attain it. Friend, I need to say one more thing, because this is so significant. We're just a little week away. And let us not confuse Christmas for all the things that we have sometimes made it. In this generation, we tend to ask one question. That is, what is in it for me? Yes? What do I benefit? Where's my benefit? Why would I want to do this? How does that help me? Well, that's the opposite of the kind of questions that Jesus asked. Our selfish benefit is what is the driver in most of our lives. For Jesus, it was the exact opposite. His driver was your benefit. Your benefit. Don't miss this. It is for your benefit that he participates in your sorrow. It is for your benefit that he walks with you when you're lonely. It is for your benefit that he is there in your trouble. It is for your benefit that he will help resolve the tensions in your marriage. It is for your benefit that there's forgiveness for your guilt. It is for your benefit that there is restoration when things are broken. It is for your benefit that fear is driven out of your life. It is for your benefit. It is so strong, and I'm going back to the Psalms quite a bit here, but it comes out again and again. It is for your benefit that he gives strength to those who are downtrodden and bowed and who feels outside. It is for your benefit so much that the psalmists say, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul, and forget not his benefit. His name shall be wonderful. It's the same way he was able to transform the cross, this instrument of death, into a symbol of love. He is also able to transform your trials, your difficulties, your struggle, your pain, and turn your everyday into his wondrous walk with the Savior. Friends, that's what we celebrate during this time. Look at him who is wondrous. If you do nothing else, just sit down and gaze at the Savior. He is wonderful in all that he does for you. Not only what he did, but what he does. And not only what he does, but what he will do. You remember him when he said, he was with his disciples, and he said, I have to go away. But when I'm going away, I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you with me, because where I am, what? You shall be also. What he did, what he does, and what he will do. I don't know that it's possible to describe anything or anyone this wonderful. I think he captured it pretty well, the old Graham Kendricks, from Get Upset With Me, I call him old, when he says, oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty, bow down and worship, for this is our King. May I invite you into this Christmas season in a very special way. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're right there. The waiting is almost over, and we'll celebrate. As you recognize, why we've had these full months of Advent, Christmas is 12 days. Begins Saturday and runs 12 days. Imagine if your life for those 12 days, and even from now on, is nothing but sitting down and gazing. And you can gaze even if you're not sitting, but spending that time falling in love all over again with the Savior. Father, I ask for this wonderful church, everyone here, and everyone worshiping at home, and those who are just joining us, both here for the first time and at home and other places, wherever this is watched. Speak to us, Father, with strength, power. Allow us again to not confuse a well-cooked turkey for the significance of looking at the one that even 800 years before he was born was called Wonderful. I ask that you would do a work very special in everyone who is hearing and watching this. Work in us, Father, that we may be restored just by knowing we sit in the presence of the Almighty One. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song, and if you feel like coming down here to pray or pray with someone, you're certainly welcome to it. If you're sitting at home, you know, bow where you are. If you want to just hold someone's hand where you are, say, I got to say a prayer right now for my life. I'm done just hearing another sermon. I want to act on what God is doing in my life. Make this the time to do so. God bless.